Welcome back. You with Morning Ireland. It's 16 minutes to nine. It's day one of level five restrictions. And between now and nine, I'm joined in studio by Health Minister Stephen Donnelly. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Anya.
It's reported that you were one of the ministers in this debate that went on at Cabinet about going to level five that was reluctant to go to the highest level. What changed your mind?
Well, I think everyone would be reluctant to go to level five. What I signed into law at about 10 to midnight last night is very, very serious. We've lived through it before. It worked. We flattened the curve again. And today is day one of us flattening the curve for a second time. But we all understand the costs. We understand there's people waking up this morning who don't have jobs to go to. We understand there's college students who are having to do college online when they should be in college having the best years of their lives. There are people who are vulnerable to this virus, be it because of underlying conditions or age or wherever it may be, who are scared again. So it was with a very heavy heart that I and everybody else at Cabinet said we needed to go to level five. But Anya, what I can say is this is a preemptive strike. It is being done in a calm and deliberate manner. We have four priorities, which we've stated from day one, which are human safety and health, the health services, the education services and jobs. Unfortunately, while fatality rates are much lower than last time, which is good, they are moving up. They did double in the last 2 weeks.
And there is a lag, of course, of a couple of weeks. So you expect them to rise.
There is a lag. We do expect them to rise. And we heard your guest on from the Czech Republic talking about what's happened there. The health services are OK. Critical care, COVID cases are at about 30 a day and holding steady. But the hospitals, if we don't move now, the reality is the cases are rising exponentially. So this is a preemptive strike. We're moving early. We flatten the curve and then we open back up again for December.
You say a preemptive strike, but looking at the situation in Cavan, a rate of 1,013 cases per 100,000, way ahead of any other county. Is that the border and the GAA or is that something else? Do you know what's gone wrong in Cavan?
So there are various things going wrong in various different counties. The border counties, there is travel back and forth across the border, and that might be in some cases the virus moving in one direction, but equally the virus moving in the other direction, be it moving north or be it south.
It's not a big populous county. You know it yourself,
yeah,
Minister.
I do.
So how come the rates got that bad in Cavan? What's going on?
So partly... Partly where it is, partly, as you say, unfortunately, I don't want to pick out any individual sporting organisation, but we do have evidence from the testing teams that post-match celebrations, which shouldn't have happened in some cases, did help spread the virus. But what the chief medical officer and what Neffet would say is, really what's important is the virus is at a point now where it is spreading in an awful lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. It is spreading in workplaces. It is spreading after sports events. It's spreading a lot of the time related to alcohol when people congregate and get together with alcohol. And it is spreading in households and between households. And it is the combination of all of those reasons which requires us moving to level five this morning.
Now, you know, there was great distress yesterday at the news that contact tracing and the decision had been taken at the weekend not to tell people themselves to trace and inform their own contacts. Dr. Sarah Doyle from the HSE was on the 6-1 saying, you know, it wasn't her job to be liaison with the government, so it wasn't her job to pass on the information about that decision. But obviously you found out about it and the Taoiseach found out about it. Through your phones. So have you worked out whose job it is to tell you about such critical decisions and will they be keeping you in the loop in future?
They will and they do. And look,
whose job is it?
We should of course have been told, but let's just look at this for a second. The contact tracing team have scaled up.
Should Paul Reid have told you? Who should have told? Because it's really hard to try and figure out this miscommunication, isn't it, between your department and the HSE on this one, on such a critical one?
Look, there are numerous ways in which government could have been told. I'm in contact with multiple people in the HSE on an ongoing basis, and so are people in the department. But Anya, this was an operational decision taken by the HSE on a Monday. And then it was reported on that evening. But let's just be very clear here, because people have been saying incorrectly that the contact tracing system has fallen down and so forth. It absolutely has not. What happened was the contact tracing teams are being ramped up very, very quickly. So just as one example, in the last 6 weeks, they are now making 400% more calls than they did. They took an operational decision on Monday. They said over the weekend, demand did outstrip supply for 3 days. So in a one-off batch, they texted people and said, here is the text that you sent to your own close contacts, and then worked with the GPs so that they could have those test referrals.
There was a couple of thousand people in that one-off batch. A lot of them were very distressed. Do you apologise to them for that distress?
Oh, look, in an ideal world, obviously that wouldn't happen. And I've no problem apologising to them. And I've spoken to some of them. And of course they were distressed. I would just re-emphasise, we're dealing with a global pandemic. We're dealing with exponential growth. It was a one-off operational decision. The HSE now have capacity in place to be able to contact trace up to 1,500 positive cases per day. So everyone is doing their absolute best. Okay. People are working night and day. For a short period, demand did outstrip supply. They made an operational decision to deal with that backlog. I and everyone else would prefer that it didn't happen. But
how do you know it won't happen again?
Well, I am assured that it won't happen again by the HSE. They now have significantly more staff in place. For example, just a few weeks ago, they had about 250 contact tracers. Today, they have 400 and they're scaling up to about 750.
You say it's being ramped up now, but it was ramped down over the summer, and a lot of the people who had been doing it went back to their original jobs. You're aiming for 800 staff, I think. When will they be in place for the contact tracing?
So there were 230 in place mid-September, 330 mid-October. Today there's 400. They're hiring another 70 this week, 74 the following week, 120 already agreed to be put in place the following week. So they're ramping up.
You'll be up to 800 by when?
In about 4 weeks.
Okay. The only thing is, though, in terms of the recruitment of those people to do such a critical job, and we heard from the ECDC earlier, we've heard from the World Health Organization, you know, if you want to avoid yo-yo lockdowns, the way to do it is get your testing and tracing up to par. But then, you know, it's up to Richard Boyd Barrett to come into the Dáil, and we find out that the people who are being recruited to this, that they're being offered 0 hours contracts. Anecdotally, we hear of long delays from people like qualified doctors who've applied to do this or being asked for their leaving cert results. So have you checked into the processes? Have you made sure with the HSE that they're, you know, doing enough to get the right people in quickly enough and making the job attractive?
I have, and I wrote to the HSE yesterday to ask for a full report on all of these contracts. What we do know is that a lot of people are applying for the jobs. What we do know is that clearly there is demand for the jobs. Nursing Homes Ireland, for example, have been on, very understandably, expressing their concerns about their own staff leaving for these jobs. So I've asked for a report on the contracts, but certainly it does appear that there is a sizable number of people applying for the jobs.
That was apparently a mistake. But again, these are the kind of mistakes that don't inspire confidence. Isn't that right, Minister?
Áine, the HSE has had to scale up from a standing start to deal with a global pandemic. What they have done is they have met the NPHET's ask of 100,000 tests a day. I then met with them shortly after I took office and said, I think we need to go further. They've now scaled up to 122,000 and they are increasing. And if you look at the international data, what you'll see is that the HSE, working night and day, have established one of the highest testing rates, not the highest, but one of the highest testing rates anywhere in the world. They've backed that up with contact tracing. They've backed it up with a contact tracing app that 1.3 million people are actively using. The first one...
But they haven't backed that up with enough contact tracers for the time the second wave hit and we were caught the way we were caught at the weekend. Leo Varadkar told his parliamentary party meeting last night it was very unfair of the HSE to dump the responsibility of resolving this controversy on GPs, and he said ministers have asked them repeatedly did they have enough contact tracers and they were told yes. So can you trust what you're being told?
Yeah, what I'm being told is that they can deal with 1,500 positive test cases per day, and you know, we have a choice. The HSE, I know the people running these systems, they literally haven't had a day off since this thing arrived. They are working night and day. They're hiring hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. They've put in place one of the highest testing regimes anywhere in the world. Are they going to make mistakes while they do that? Yes, they are. And so we have a choice. We as government have a choice, and we the Irish people have a choice. Every time they don't get it exactly right, which they didn't over the weekend, we can beat up on them and pile on them and say it's not fair and it's unacceptable. Or we can say, hang on a second, of course these issues, we don't want them to happen. But let's recognise that we have men and women working night and day on testing, tracing, contact tracing to try and keep us all safe. And they're doing their best. So should what happened last weekend have happened? No, it shouldn't. But let's just remember that we've got a group of people doing everything they can in a global pandemic, and every single country is struggling. You'll wait a week for a test now in the UK. Contact tracing in some European countries, they've just stopped doing it.
But is the here's another thing, is the job for those contact tracers being made more difficult by the way we're running the GDPR rules? So when somebody if I get a call to say I've been a contact, I'm not told who that X person is, and this is leading, apparently we're told, to delays and you know, making a lot of this process longer and more difficult than it needs to be. Does that need to be looked at?
So you're right in that GDPR is being followed and it is being taken very seriously. The public health advice I've had from this on day one is that actually it's important to have that, because what we need is people to put their hand up immediately and say, I'm feeling symptomatic, I'm going to my GP. And we need people to be able to say, even before you have your contact tracing, if you've been designated as a positive case, you've got that phone call, and you know there's friends of yours or family members or colleagues of yours, you know you're a close contact to them, we want you to tell those people straight away anyway. So we need to make sure that people can engage with the system in confidence and know that their privacy is respected.
So the privacy is important despite the delays. I know this is a question that was raised at the Fianna Fáil parliamentary meeting last night. What happens if we get to the 2nd of December and the cases are still running at more than 100 a day? What do we do?
Well, look, that's a hypothetical, Anya. We have an exit strategy, which is we're going to go for 6 weeks.
Well, it's a possibility, Minister.
It is.
And people want to know, what would you do?
Well, it depends. It depends what the situation is. So government will look at it carefully. NPHET will look at it carefully. And they look at a range of factors. So they look at the level of cases. They look at the rate of growth of cases. They look at the positivity rates. They look at the R number. And also they look at it county by county and region by region. So one of the things we've stated is that the exit from this doesn't have to be, for example, the whole country at one time. It could be region by region. So really, it depends on a lot of factors. What we want to see is we want to see the curve flattened again. And what we all want to see is a move back to level 3 on the 1st of December.
All right. Vicky Phelan was on with us earlier. The 221 Plus group, very critical of your decision to go ahead with the tribunal into the cervical check controversy next Tuesday. She says, why is it so hard to do what's right by women who've already been failed by the state? She described your announcement as a slap in the face, and she wants you to meet 221 Plus to reconsider setting up this tribunal next Tuesday. Will you meet them? Will you reconsider?
Of course, I'll meet them. I have met them, and I'll meet them again. And what is driving everything we're doing here is to try and find...
Before next Tuesday? You'll meet them before next Tuesday?
Of course I can meet them before next Tuesday, yeah. What we're doing here, everything we're doing is to try and find the best way forward for the 221 Plus group. It's why the tribunal was established. We want to make sure that it is not non-adversarial, that's impossible, but the least amount of adversary possible. It's why the whole thing was established.
The AG has advised you that the laboratories have to be involved. That's your legal advice, right?
So the 221 group, and I heard Vicky this morning, she was citing three issues. One, the adversarial nature. Second, the ability to go back for further claims. And third, the statute of limitations. The advice I have from the AG, if the statute of limitations issue, whilst a matter for the Minister for Justice, is dealt with, and cases that are now before the High Court, which is the cases are currently lodged, can be transferred. That's the first issue. The second is the recurrence, so that a member can go back for a further claim. That's dealt with through the courts. So it was agreed when the tribunal was set up that it would end after a certain period of time. And the third on you is the issue of the adversarial nature. Now, it is understood by everyone involved that claims are paid when negligence is established. And if negligence is to be established, people have to be able to ask questions and people have to be able to disagree. That's what we mean by an adversarial nature. My concern, and the advice I got from the AG, is that if we don't go with the tribunal, if we end up back in the courts, The women involved can take cases against the state, but negligence has to be established. That means the state has to bring the labs in. We can't establish negligence without the labs. And secondly, a real concern I have is that the state, in a second court case, then has to pursue the labs for negligence and the women could be pulled back in again. Okay. I don't believe that would be fair on the women involved. And just last point on this, Áine, the tribunal is being established so that we have it in place. No one is being asked to use it. No one is compelled to use it. It's in place for 9 months. There's a full 9 months for everyone to lodge their applicants, and it was important to get it set up so that it can be used.
But
if
she
people
disagrees
want it.
With all of those arguments, and I'm sure that 2-to-1 Plus will welcome the news that you'll meet them before Tuesday. But you did say in the Dáil 2 years ago that the women and the families should be listened to, and this was the whole thing goes back to women deciding what women should or should not be told about their own health. Will you listen to the women in this case?
I will, of course, and have been and will continue to. And all I want to do is set up a system that works for the women.
Health Minister Stephen Donnelly, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Morning Ireland. It's coming up to 9 o'clock.